It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As I study and read and study the book of Ephesians, by the way, we're in chapter 2. As I study this book, I see many things. I see that God lets us know that we are saved once we've trusted Jesus, and that's how we get saved. He's telling us that in this book. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that brings joy to my heart, because I know that I couldn't save myself, so I don't have to keep myself saved. There's no way I could save myself, and there's no way I could keep myself saved. So I have the confidence of knowing that Jesus Christ has saved me by His grace, because He did go to the cross of Calvary. He died for me, and He rose for me that I could have eternal life. Now, in verse 15 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, "Having abolished," now this is Jesus, He abolished this, "having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." There is no more war between man. Once Jesus Christ saves that person, they have made peace with Jesus Christ. They've come to Him, trusting Him as Savior. And verse 17, it says, "And came and preached peace to you." And this is Jesus speaking of Jesus. "Preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." Well, the people who were afar off are those Gentile people. And then those people who were nigh or close to the Lord were the Jewish people. Remember, the Jews, they actually were around when Jesus Christ was around. They were nigh to Him because God says that the Jewish people, they were His people. But His people refused Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But now peace has been made for all people who trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 17, I'm reminded of Psalm 148 and verse 14, it says, "He also exalteth the horn of His people." That's the Jewish people now, once again. But we can also say it's speaking of people who have trusted Him as Lord and Savior. "He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints." Well, who are saints? Those are people, once again, who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It goes on to say, "even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him." There's the word near again. These people who were near to Him, near unto Him, "praise ye the Lord." You see, Jesus Christ came first to the Jewish people. Jesus Christ came as their Messiah, but they refused to receive Him as their Messiah. They refused to receive Him because they looked to a person who was going to set up a kingdom, a physical kingdom in this world at that time. They did not want to listen to what God said in His Word. Had they listened, they would have known that you must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then He becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords to you in your life. And that's the reason we serve Him, because He first loved us, He saved us, and He becomes the person that we need to go to for everything, because He is to be King of us. He's to be the King of our life. Now, He's a King that is different from other kings that we think of earthly. He is a King who loves us. He's a King who will never mistreat us. He's not a dictator. He's one who has given His life for us that we could be called the sons of God or the children of God. Jesus Christ is actually not only our Savior, but He is our elder brother, according to the Word of God. God is His Heavenly Father, and God is our Heavenly Father. We need to rejoice today as saved people, and realizing that we have nothing to fear and nothing to be down in this world about. except we're still here. But we need to be on top of the world, letting people know that Jesus loved us so much. He gave his life for us and he rose from the grave. And one of these days we're going to be with him. We need to tell people that so that they too one day could be with us and be with the Lord in heaven. Well, notice if you would, we'll read verse 17 and verse 18 together now. And came, that's Jesus, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them which or that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We are all one in Jesus Christ. And we have the same ability, the same spiritual ability to approach Jesus, to approach God the Father in prayer. And I spoke of this, I believe, in the last lesson that we studied together in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, how that no man can pray, take our prayers and go to the Father for us. Now, other people can pray for us. They can pray. If we get sick and we have a need, then there's nothing wrong with someone going to the Lord in prayer and praying for us. But what we've looked at and what I've said before is this: you don't have to have another man taking your prayers to God, because you have that authority as a child of God to go to him in prayer. Remember, in verse 14, the middle wall of partition has been broken down, and we can go and approach God, our Father, in prayer through Jesus Christ, the great high priest, not a priest on this earth, but a priest who has gone into the heavens, into heaven itself, and he is there to make intercession for us to the Father. So we go to him personally in prayer, and we take our needs to him. And we also pray for other people. Now, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We're fellow citizens with all saints. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And not only the people who are on this earth at this time, but those who have gone on before. We are fellow citizens with them because they're already in heaven. And I've said this before, it's just as if we're already there. We're fellow citizens with the saints who are in heaven. Why are we here? Well, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for the Lord. We who are here right now in the flesh, we are to be serving God because we are representatives of God. We are his ambassadors. We're in a foreign world. This world's not our home. And one day we're going to go home. And we're going to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that he's coming back soon and he's going to say, "Come up hither." But whether or not he comes back in the clouds for me in the rapture, whether or not that happens and this breath of life leaves my body, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going up one way or the other. And I pray that you're going up as well, that you've trusted him. Notice verse 20 now of Ephesians chapter 2. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone." Who is that? That's Jew and Gentile. That's people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, notice Psalm 118, verse 22. It says, "The stone," that's Jesus Christ, "which the builders refused," that's the Jewish people who refused him when he came, "the builders refused, is become the headstone of the corner." In other words, he's the head man. He's the head person. He's the only way to heaven. Verse 20 again says, "And are built upon," that's us, the people who are saved. People are saved. They're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the way. He's the only way. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In other words, but through Jesus Christ. Verse 21, it says, well, let me back up, and I see another verse that I'd like to read with this and concerning verse 20. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And it goes back to what I've been saying, what I just got through saying. We are ambassadors for the Lord. But once again, how do we do this? We work with the Lord. "For we are laborers together with God." Can you imagine having the power of God in your life, having God's power so that you can do what He wants you to do? Well, the Bible tells us that we have that power. I remind you once again of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus Christ Himself said, "But ye shall receive power. The Holy Spirit has come. You're going to receive power to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, of the world." So what are we going to be doing? We're going to be laborers together with Him. He says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Now, He doesn't tell us that we're not going to have problems in this life, because we will. Because why? We're still in the flesh. And we're going to have problems in the flesh until we're with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." Verse 22, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, where it says, "Ye also, as lively stones," not something dead, not a dead stone, not just a stone that's lying about, and this is a representation of just someone who is not able to do anything, but we're lively. It says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And this goes back to what I've been saying and what I've said before. We now have the privilege of being able to approach God the Father through Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have become a holy priesthood. We've become priests ourselves, because we can offer up our own prayers to God. And I remind you, you don't have to go through another man or a woman here on this earth to get your prayers through God, to God. And that is, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we go because we go to God in prayer ourselves, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And the Bible teaches us that when we go to the Lord in prayer, that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our mediator between us and God. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. And because of that, once again, unless you're saved, if you're saved, then you have that privilege of going to God in prayer and getting your prayers answered, because He said, "I'm going to listen to you because you have become a priest. You've become a holy person because of me, because I gave my life for you and you trusted me. You trusted my blood to be able to save you." Now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go to Him in prayer. You can offer prayers up to Him. You can pray to Him for personal needs. And as you do that, it says in 1 Peter 2, 5, the last part says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by whom? Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ. We're saved through Him. We're kept by Him. And we get our prayers answered through Him as He takes them to God the Father for us. Get saved today. If you don't know Him, ask Him to come into your heart. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I'll see you in heaven one day.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.